Let's open our Bibles together, please. We're opening the scriptures in the book of the Psalms, and we're turning to the Psalm number 49. Let's follow the reading of God's word in the Psalm 49. Let's open the scriptures together and pray that God will help us as we minister the word of God this evening. Psalm 49. Let's listen to the word of God. Hear this, all ye people, give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark sayings upon the harp. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about? They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. That he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generation. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. This their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their sayings. Selah. Like sheep they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning. And their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Selah. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's bow our heads for a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word this evening. And I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that thou will help me to preach thy word and bring honor and glory to thy Son. And oh God, I pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou will bring conviction upon the hearts of those that listen this evening. We pray that there might be hearing ears, there might be understanding hearts. Let not men and women close their ears to thy word. Let them not be deaf to thy voice. But this night, O God, by the power of thy Holy Spirit, we pray that thou wilt speak and that thou wilt save and bring men and women to Christ. I pray this for Jesus' sake and for his glory. Amen. I'm sure many of you are familiar in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. There was a man who was rich, and God blessed him, and God prospered him, until he had no place to put all his goods or his fruit. And so he had a problem. He wondered what he would do. He decided he would pull down his barns, he would build greater, and then he said, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, eat, drink, and be merry. God heard that word of that man that evening, and God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. You see, my friend, it's the story of a man who lived only for this life, and he left aside any thought of eternity, and where he would go to in eternity. And the Lord Jesus Christ called him
a fool. Now, Psalm 49 summarizes the philosophy that is so prevalent in this age and in this day in which we live. You see, the idea is this, that what young people should do is this, and what men and women should do is they should live for the moment. And they should put out of their minds any thought of eternity or what lies beyond the grave. He that provides only for this life, and this life that only lasts for a season, and he has no thought and he has no provision for eternity, is rightly called by the Lord Jesus Christ just a fool. And friend, it is common today that that's how men and women are living. Men and women are living just for today. So I asked this question. Are you taken up with this life only? Are you so caught up with this world that you put out of your mind any thought of the reality of eternity that lies before you and where you will be in eternity? You see, the Word of God tells us the wise man does not do that. It says in Deuteronomy 32, verse 29, "Oh, that they were wise and they understood this, that they would consider their latter end." And friend, the wise person doesn't only think about the here and the now and this moment. And let me get whatever I can get this moment in life and all the pleasures and all the possessions of this world. And close my mind to the reality that some of these days or some of these moments I'm going to die. And God's going to require my soul, because God said to the fool, "This night thy soul shall be required of thee." He didn't offer himself up. God says, "I require you." In other words, God says, "I demand your soul." Because you see, God's the one who gives, and God is the one who takes away. And I've said in this pulpit so many times, my friend, don't be a fool. You're not in control. The breath that is in your body tonight is given to you of God. But remember, Job acknowledged this. It's the Lord who gives. It is the Lord who takes away. And he said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Whilst you and I look around us and we see the uncertainty of life all around us today, men and women live as if life's never going to end. As if the fun and the pleasures and the drinking and the gambling and all the rest of the immoral living, my friend, as if that this will never, ever come to an end. I want you to study the psalm with me this evening, and we'll try and get through it as quickly as possible. There's four simple things I want you to notice. First of all, notice the call here. In the opening lines, it says, "Hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark saying upon the harp." And so in the opening of this psalm, the psalmist is calling all mankind to listen. "Hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world." And so what the psalmist is speaking of here, it is of such importance. He says, "I want you to listen to me. I don't want you to shut it out of your hearts. I don't want you to shut your ears to this." He said, "I want you to hear it. What I'm going to talk to you," the psalmist says, "what the Spirit of God has placed upon my heart is of such immense importance. It is of worthy of the keenest consideration, because there's important instruction here in what the psalmist is going to say." Friend, tonight as we gather in this meeting, I want you to listen. I beg you to listen. Because I'm bringing to you tonight God's truth. And sad to say, there are people who don't want to hear it. There are people who don't want to listen. There are people who don't want to learn. They say to me, "Preacher, please don't say those things, because I want to live as I want to live. I want to be the captain of my own ship. I don't want you to interrupt my pleasures and the things that I'm seeking after and the possessions that I'm seeking to gain. I don't want you to interrupt with the thoughts of eternity, with the thoughts and the realities that lie beyond this life. Yet, my friends, let me tell you, if you do that, if you shut your ears to it, it'll not change the reality. It will not change the reality that you have to die and that you have to meet God. It says this, all ye people, all ye inhabitants of the world. Notice what it says, both low and high. There's nobody too low, friend, but listen, God can reach down to you and God can see you. There's nobody too high, but God will bring you down. He says not only low and high, he says rich and poor. He says, listen to it together. In other words, this is a message for everyone, men everywhere, all ye inhabitants of the world. This is a world-embracing message tonight. It's not only for Macrofelt, it's for everywhere in the world. And the Spirit of God wants you to listen, all classes of people. The message is for everyone. Why is it for everyone? Because everyone's the same in the sight of God. Every one of us are sinners. There is no man too high, friend. But God knows his heart, and the Bible says the heart of man. That's all men, rich or poor, low or high. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Every one of us are sinners. There's nobody different. The queen on the throne, the pauper on the street. God says there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the people in Ulster. That's the people in China. That's the people in Singapore, in Australia, in Kenya, in Ulster, just the same. All ye inhabitants of the world, all are sinners in the sight of God. And here's something else. Every one of us will have to die. See, if Christ returns, it is appointed unto men. Let me tell you, my friend, you are not in control of this. You're not in control of this. It is appointed unto men once to die, and then after this, the judgment. Because not only have you to die, after this, we all have to meet God. There's not a man or woman tonight, but we'll meet God Almighty, for God has an appointment. God has appointed the day in which he will judge the world by that man whom he hath ordained. Acts chapter 17, verse 31. God has appointed the day. Let me tell you, every one of us have got to die. And I tell you, men and women don't want to think about it, but I'll tell you, there's nothing more real. There's nothing more real. And I beg you in God's name, don't play the coward. Don't play the fool, burying your head in the sand as if somehow you can put your head in the sand and it'll never touch you. For we all must needs die and be as water spilt upon the ground. Yes, death's an equalizer. But I'll tell you something else, as we'll see in this passage of God's word. It's also a divider. Because there are those who die in Christ and there are those who die in their sin. I tell you, for all the world, my friend, it's not worth it. I don't care what the world has got to offer you tonight. It's not worth to die in your sin. And where Christ says you'll never be. And go out into the blackness and the darkness of a Christless eternity and be lost in hell forever. I don't care what the devil has got to offer you. It's not worth it, man. It's not worth it. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. He's a destroyer. He's a damner. He'll take men and women and take them out into the lowest and darkest place of a lost eternity. We'll see it in this passage of God's word. What a foolish thing to realize that you're going on the greatest journey that you'll ever take. And you don't know when it's coming. But you're going to take it. And you can't break the appointment which God has made. And yet you have no preparation. You're not ready to go. You'll not say to God, God, you can't call me now. Because I've got youth on my side, let me tell you, death takes the young people. You can't take me now. My family needs me, cries a mother. Let me tell you this, my friend. Death is wretched and red, taking the mother away from their child, because death cares not about the cries of an infant or a young person or of a lover or of a husband or a wife. We know not the day of our death. We have a journey to take, and we need to be ready. That's what the psalmist said. Listen, verse 3, my mouth speaks wisdom. I'm not talking like a fool. I'm talking about wisdom. The Word of God says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Have you any fear of meeting God, sinner? Have you ever fear of meeting God? Ever thought of putting your head on the pillow at night? And God could say, the night as you're sleeping, during the night hours, God could say, thy soul shall be required of thee. And in the moment of time, you're gone, and your loved one wake up beside you, or your loved one come into the room, but you're gone. Listen, my friend. No matter what you have in the bank, no matter what you own, you're gone to God's eternity. You're going to meet him. And we'll find it in this passage. You'll not buy him off. It's words of wisdom. He said, listen, my mouth shall speak wisdom. He said, and the meditation of my heart, listen, shall be of understanding. Did I pray tonight as I'm preaching? I said, oh my God, please give understanding to men and women. Get this into their heart. Don't let them play the fool. Don't live life as if it's never going to end. Don't let them fool themselves that just because of the pleasures of life, it'll always be like that. Because the Word of God says the pleasures of sin are only for a season. It's only a fool that runs away from reality. I say to you, men and women, in God's name, young people tonight, face reality. I'm talking wisdom, because it's God's wisdom, not on mine. Wouldn't be worth listening to if it was my wisdom. But I can tell you it's worth listening to when it's God's wisdom. You ought to be praying in your heart right now. You say, oh God, please help me to understand this. Please, God, don't let me miss this. Don't let me blank it out, Lord. Don't let the devil put it out of my mind and put my mind on other things and think about tomorrow and think about all the plans of this week. Let me tell you this. If God wills, you'll see this week. And if God doesn't, you'll not. And neither will I. Because it's all in his hands. Yes, there's a call here. Will you incline your ear tonight? He says, I will incline mine ear to a parable. Are you willing to incline your ear tonight and listen to what God says? Yes. God uses, you know, illustrations of spiritual truths. The Lord Jesus spoke many times in parables. I tell you, when I read the psalm and the Lord wrote it in my heart, friend, I tell you, it's very plain. Very plain. He says, I will incline my ear to a parable. He says, I will open my dark sayings upon the harp. God has spoken many times through the words of a song. I pray the words that our brethren were singing tonight. Our brother played the instrument and our brethren sang. I pray the Holy Ghost has spoken to your heart. I always think of many years ago when I brought one of my albums out, one of the old LPs out. There's a woman in this town and she was listening to it, and it's amazing, you know, she had no thought of the things of God and no time for the things of God. And yet the hymn that God always spoke to her, she couldn't get away from, and she played it over and over again. Was, sinner, I never knew you. Until God broke her one day. And one night, and she called on the Lord to save her. She didn't want the Lord not to know her. She wanted to know the Lord. And she wanted him to know her as his child. Thank God, through the words of a song, God spoke to her heart. There is here the call. Secondly, there's the consideration. You see, the psalmist continues to give the good perspective of life. He poses a question. Look at verse 5. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about? Wherefore should I fear? You know, in the Psalms, we often find that the writer is taken up with people who are in wealth and prosperity. Verse 6 says, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches. And quite often you read the Psalms and you'll find that this troubled the psalmist. He saw, here's him as a child of God, and here's the ungodly man. And the ungodly man seems to live a reckless life and a moral life, a sinful life, a crooked life, and yet it seems to be that he gets on far better. Quite often, and prospers more than the child of God. Psalm 37 says, fret not thyself. In other words, don't let that burn up within you. Don't you get worked up about that, friend. You just leave it all in God's hands. He knows exactly what he's doing. The psalmist in Psalm 73, he said, listen. He said, you know, that troubled him until he went into the sanctuary of God. And then he realized that all that the wicked man had, even though he had prosperity, it was only for a short time. And then he had to let go. He was taken away. Sometimes, you know, God's people feel sorry for themselves that they haven't the prosperity of others. Let me tell you, if you're saved tonight, I want to tell you, you have a possession that the world couldn't buy. And all the exchequers of the world couldn't afford. And you got it as a gift. It was the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But friend, let's be honest. The psalmist found it hard. He said, listen, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about. And he speaks about not only the wealthy in their wealth, but he speaks about the wealthy in their power. And how that they pursued, and how that they chased after, and the compassed, and the surrounded, and were ready to inflict wounds upon his heels. And even in this day and age, it seems to be that the ungodly will prosper, and many times they persecute the child of God. Now here's the question, wherefore should I fear in the day of evil? Should I be afraid of that? When I see the enemy prospering, should I fear? No, brother, no, sister in Christ. Take comfort tonight. Take comfort tonight. Remember, all that they have is for this world. And it's only for a little while. And you have what money can't buy. But notice, they haven't what they wish their money could buy. Look at verse 6. None of them can by any means redeem or buy back his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. Notice this. You see, there's things money can't buy, friend. None of these, not one of them, none of them. You say, who is he speaking about? Those that trust in their wealth, those that boast themselves of the multitude of their riches. They have got everything that money can buy as far as the world is concerned. And yet the Word of God says there's none of them can by any means. There's nothing they have can redeem or buy back their brother, or even give a ransom for himself. Notice it says there in verse 7, none of them can buy by any means, or can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. You know what he found out? He found out God's the one that's the day of reckoning with. God. And friend, I trust tonight that you realize that tonight. Listen, you have to give an account to God. You've got to give an account to God. And it's unavoidable. It's like death. Death is unavoidable. Doesn't matter who you are. You can't deliver. You can't buy off death. You're powerless with all your means, either for yourself or for those around you. And when God requires your soul, you'll have to go. Some years ago, there was Elvis Presley. And I remember hearing Elvis Presley's stepbrother's testimony, Rick Stanley's testimony. Remember saying one night that he was sitting in Graceland there in Elvis Presley's home, and he was sitting there, Rick was sitting burdened in soul. Elvis was going past the door, he looked in where Rick was, and he saw Rick sitting there, and he was in tears. He said, "Rick, what is it?" He says, "How much do you need?" Because you see, Elvis thought that everything could be bought with money. Rick Stanley turned to Elvis and he said, "Elvis, no, it's not that Elvis, it's this girl Robin. And she's been telling me I need Jesus. I need Jesus to be my Savior." Rick Stanley in his testimony said that Elvis sat down beside him and he said these words. With all he possessed, he said these words. He says, "You know, Rick, she's right. It's time we all stopped fooling around and got right with God." And then he said, "God, show me a way." You see, friend, there's things money can buy. I've often said that money can buy you a house, can't buy you a home. Money can buy you friends, can't buy you true love. And here we find the Word of God says, listen, they may boast in all their wealth, but listen, none of them by any means can redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. Why? Why, friend? Because it says this, for the redemption of their soul is precious. What does he mean? The word precious there is the word priceless. The redemption of their soul is priceless. All the money of the world couldn't afford it. It can't be paid for. No money that man has can ever pay the price to achieve eternal life. What did the Lord Jesus say? He says, "What should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" Yes, we have his call. We have a consideration very quickly. Notice the correction. Verse 10, "For he seeth that wise men die. Likewise the fool and the brutish person perish. And they leave their wealth to others." Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever. Their dwelling place to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beast that perisheth. That's the correction. It says, "For he seeth that wise men die like was the fool and the brutish." Friend, surely there's not one in this meeting that's foolish enough to deny this reality. You see it. Listen, let me tell you. You see the hearses going around the countryside. You see the coffins. You see the loved ones placed upon into the coffin and then taken away, and the lid goes on and they're carried on your shoulder and you go to a service and then you place them on Mother Earth. You've seen it all. Well, what more has God got to say to you? How more plain can God make it to you? Friend, let me tell you, it's not all with somebody else. It's your time that's coming. And it's mine. One by one our seats are emptied, and one by one we have to go away. And here the circle will be broken. Will it be complete someday? Surely we see it all around us. We observe it. We see it. Notice how indiscriminate it is. It says, listen, the wise men die, the fools die, the brutish die. They all die. And they leave their wealth to others. Their possessions will pass down. They think to generations. That's what it says there. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever. You think you're here forever, friend? You really think that? Their dwelling place to all generations. Yes, it'll pass down from a generation. And then they call the lands after their own names. Why they want to be remembered? Think they're going to be in permanent remembrance. Let me tell you, friend, the only permanent thing on earth for you and me is a grave. That's the only possession you'll have in the end of the day. There's a wee bit of a plot out there or somewhere else. And the place that knows you now, the Bible says, shall know you no more forever. Come on, don't fool yourself. Stop playing the game. We're talking about your soul, friend. We're talking about your immortal soul. We're talking about your existence after this old world's over. And God requires you and God calls you to give an account. The only real estate you'll own is a little plot that somebody else will go to. And somebody else will tend and take the weeds off. And maybe put a flower on. That's it, you know. It's reality. The correction. But don't you say you don't know, friend, because it says, he seeth. He seeth. And so do you. Now, very quickly, notice the chasm here. Because there's a great division in the rest of this chapter. And the great division is between the unsaved and the saved at death. And there is a great chasm. Look at verse 15. It says, but God, or rather verse 13, this their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their sayings. Like sheep they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and their beauty shall consume in the grave. From their dwelling. Like sheep, they're laid in a grave. What does that mean? What does that mean, friend? See, death one day, dear sinner, will herd you just like a shepherd herds the sheep. You know what the sheep is? The sheep's the most dumb animal that there is. It's the dumbest animal there is. And that's how men and women are living, friend. They're going on life not realizing that one of these days, death's going to herd them like sheep before they know, before they realize it. And death's going to lay them in the grave. The ungodly man. And then it says this, and their beauty, at the end of verse 14, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. You see, all the beauty's gone now. The grim reaper does his work. And the beauty disappears in the grave. But notice what it says in verse 15. But God. Here's the child of God. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. Hallelujah. For he shall receive me. Thank God we don't need to be afraid. You know, dying's not always easy, but friend, let me tell you, for the child of God, we have nothing to fear. The psalmist says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. There's a lovely wee statement there in the middle of verse 14. Did you notice it? It says this, amidst of all the disaster for the ungodly, like sheep they are laid in the grave, death shall feed on them. And then it says this, and the upright shall have dominion over them. Thank God we're going to reign with Christ. Thank God, child of God, there's a great day coming. Hallelujah. And you're going to have dominion, you see, over all those that man thought that, my, he was persecuting the child of God. Listen, when you're reigning with Christ, hallelujah, you're in dominion with him. But notice, I love this. It says, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning. Praise God, we're headed to the morning. I'm not headed to the night, friend. Thank God I'm headed to the morning. For thank God, there's going to be the breaking of the day some of these days. And when I arrive in heaven, thank God, the sun will never set. Because they need neither sun nor moon to lighten heaven, for the Lamb is the light thereof. And we'll be with him in the eternal morning, exalted and reigning with him. The psalmist says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Why should I not fear death? What does it say in verse 16 or verse 15? But God. Lovely wee study there. Haven't time. But there's a lovely wee study. But God's in the Bible. But God. Study it for yourself, friend. Get the wee gems out. The wee nuggets. It'll bless your soul. But God will redeem my soul from the grave. Thank God he delivered me from the power of the grave. I don't need to fear that put the body in the grave, but praise God, the Lord will deliver my soul from the grave. You see, I'll be absent from the body. That's what the brethren were singing. And present with Jesus. I fear no evil. Why? Because, Lord, thou art with me. He says, redeem me from the power of the grave. But what did it say in verse 7? Go back a moment. None of them, that's those that trust in wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of riches, none of them can by any means redeem. Well, how am I going to be redeemed? What does it say in 1 Peter chapter 1? We are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. Isn't that what the rich man tried to redeem himself or his brother with? He thought he could buy everything with money. He could buy off death. He could buy God off to get through the pearly gates of glory. No, my friend, what silver and gold couldn't do for the ungodly, praise God, Christ's blood did for me at Calvary. For we're not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Christ. Hallelujah. But God will redeem my soul. He bought my soul through his death at Calvary. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Finally, the conclusion, verse 16. Be not afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased, and when he dieth, notice this, when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. He'll carry nothing away. See, when you're traveling, when you go down the road, friend, and people follow after you. And some people will come and say, I wonder what he left. I wonder what you left. I'll tell you. I know the will. I know the will. I know yours too. I got a preview of your will. You left all. All. Because you carry nothing to the grave. Nothing. You carry nothing with you. You carry nothing away. His glory shall descend. Not ascend. Descend. your glory just goes down to the grave after him. Although while he lived, he blessed his soul. In other words, he thought he was a great fella. Aye, and even men praised him. Verse 18. When thou doest well to thyself, was there be plenty to congratulate you and praise you, hoping that you'll remember them and you'll be good to them too. And all that. Oh, yes, when thou doest well to thyself. But mark verse 19. He shall go to the generations of his father. And then notice this little phrase. They shall never see light. What about the child of God earlier on, friend? Did it not say in verse 14, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning? Thank God we're headed to the light. These are the dark days of persecution and opposition for the child of God. These are the valleys of tears that we have got to walk into many times and be lonely in, as far as man's earthly journey is concerned. But hallelujah, we're headed to the morning. We're headed to the light. But the ungodly man, the Word of God says this, they shall never see light. Why? Why does the Holy Ghost say that? Because when a man or woman goes to hell, the Bible says it's the blackness of darkness forever. They'll never see light. Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., told the story of a lovely wee family over in the United States of America. And the wee boy always was afraid whenever the darkness came. And the wee boy took an incurable disease. It was an ungodly home. They had no thought of the things of God. He didn't know the way of salvation. And when the doctor told the parents in the presence of the little boy that he had to die, the wee boy said, Mommy, please, Mommy, Daddy, when I die, I don't want to go into a dark grave. Some way will you put a shaft down into that grave? So I'll not be in the darkness. And friend, the daddy and mommy did that, for when the wee boy died, put in the grave, they put a shaft right down into where the coffin was to somehow shine a little light in the top of the coffin. That was all the lady had. You see, friend, here's the end of the ungodly man. And I'm not caught here. I'm telling you straight. You shall never see light. You'll die in your sin. And where Christ is, you'll never be. And you'll go to the blackness of darkness forever. Now, friend, let me tell you, you will exist there, for hell's real. And you'll die in spiritual darkness, and the Bible says you'll go out into outer darkness. The blackness of darkness forever. Where the worm dieth not, where the fire is never quenched. Man that is an honor and understandeth not is like the beast that perishes. He is nothing that lasts more than the beast. For all they have was for this life. Sinner, that's all you got. That's all you've got. You're going to take a long journey some of these days. And yet in a moment of time, you'll take it. The journey from time into God's eternity. And if you're not saved, you'll be in the darkness forever. without Christ, without hope. And man may praise you. They may eulogize you on your way to the graveyard. I'm telling you, I won't. Because I can't. Rich or poor, I can't do it. My job as a minister is not to eulogize the dead. My job is to preach to the living, to be ready for the day of death. Man may praise you, but let me tell you, your life will be a failure. The biggest failure that could ever be, because you are ignorant of spiritual things. You rejected the Lord of glory, and you died in your sin. I beg you, please listen. O earth, O ye people, O ye inhabitants of the world, listen. Here's a message from God for you. Seek the Lord. Seek him now.